Welcome to the Jam Pack Report today for April the 2nd of 2023. My name is Samuel Adams and it's good to be back. We're bringing the show back from the dead and we've got a banger of an episode to start things off because this week we had Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure drop and I've got some impressions for you there. I've gone hands-on, played about 6 hours with the game and it's a pretty good time. We also have a Diablo 4 Special Edition Xbox Series X bundle that's a pretty big letdown if we're being honest, and Western Digital has some Xbox Series X and S expansion cards on the way that are going to make it way easier to add some extra storage to your system. We've got all that and more on today's show, so without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Starting things off, Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure is available now on Series X, S, Xbox One, Windows, PCs, and of course it's also playable via cloud gaming, which I think is always a pretty cool little feature. But this feels like a very different kind of DLC, and it's one that I've spent roughly about 6 hours with so far. I've been playing it very early in the mornings. Whenever the insomnia hits, I boot it up, go ahead and start drifting around the tracks. But they have a really good write-up on the Xbox Wire that I wanted to share to kind of give you a description of what you can expect. They write, "Today is an exciting day for all of us here at Playground Games as we bring you Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure. This is our second massive expansion for Forza Horizon 5, and it introduces players to the rugged Sierra Nueva, where you'll get to drive purpose-built rally monsters in dirt, asphalt, and challenging night races across miles of Horizon's most thrilling routes." So this is an entire region, just like Hot Wheels or just like LEGO was in Forza Horizon 4, that is dedicated entirely to rally racing. And they've done it in a really unique way, where they have these three teams that you unlock as you progress through this expansion, where you unlock one that is specifically dirt rally, you unlock another that's asphalt rally, and then you unlock another that's all just night rally. And so you can bounce back and forth between which ones you're working on at that given time. You just pick the kind of event that you want in the same way you would in typical Forza Horizon fashion, and you can kind of switch up the experience. But what I want to emphasize is that with rally races specifically, if you choose them, you can choose between two different types of race. You can do an actual race that's against other NPC drivatars, or you can do it as an actual rally where a helicopter follows you and calls out your turns and calls out if you have a hairpin left coming up or if you have a slight right coming up. And so the real beauty of Forza Horizon 5's Rally Adventure isn't that it brings more Forza Horizon 5 to the game. It's that it changes up the in-game elements to where instead of relying on the guideline that you can also turn on, that is disabled by default, and instead you're relying on the helicopter instructions to know how hard you need to brake and turn left. If it's something that's coming up and it's going to literally put you in a U-turn, it'll let you know it's a hairpin, so you need to slam on those brakes and get ready to turn. But if it's something that's just a slide right, you can lean into it, hit the gas, and just keep going and get those split-second times a little bit closer to first place. I love it. And I'm not typically a rally guy. I've tried to play dirt before, and it's a little bit too realistic for me, I guess, is the best way to describe dirt. It's just not really hitting it for me for some reason. But Rally Adventure is a nice blend of something that still feels arcadey, but it also brings a very realistic tone, a realistic feel to it. And so, like I said, I've spent about 6 hours with it. I have the premium add-ons pack that is on sale until April 3rd for Xbox Game Pass members. If you do have that, you can pick up all of the expansions for $30, so $15 for the Hot Wheels, $15 for Rally Adventure, and I think that's a pretty good deal overall. If you like arcade racers, Forza Horizon 5 is still the best one on the market right now. I will say, though, overall, it feels a little bit hollow. The overall experience for Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure just feels like it's there to get the job done. It is cool to see the new rally mechanics that they brought into the game. I think that they do what they do very well. But in comparison to Forza Horizon 4, stuff just feels kind of hollow. I even think back to DLCs like the Fortune Island DLC, where that felt like something that was truly an adventure. It felt like something that was unique. It kind of threw itself into being a game, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And with Rally Adventure, it's more racing, and it is definitely going to scratch that itch for the dirt fans that are out there, for the rally fans, but just doesn't feel like the typical DLC that's meant to be targeted at a mass audience. You're going to have a good time, just may not be that fun, welcoming kind of thing that you would expect from a Forza Horizon DLC. But plenty of ground to cover here. In fact, they've got 38 miles of ground to cover, according to the blog post here. And if you do want to dive in and you don't have Forza Horizon 5 and you don't have Game Pass, you can actually buy it as a standalone expansion, which I think is a pretty cool way to do it. So if you do just want that, you can buy it standalone on the Xbox Marketplace. But Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure is available now, and you can dive in. And if you buy it, you can also install it on a new, cheaper, expandable storage card coming from Western Digital in the weeks ahead. This was just spotted this morning from Tom Warren over at The Verge, who writes, Microsoft appears to be readying new Xbox expandable storage options from other manufacturers. A new Western Digital 1TB expansion card for Xbox Series X and S consoles has been spotted early on Best Buy, priced at $179.99 USD. It's the first time we've seen Xbox expandable storage that's not manufactured by Seagate. Now, in comparison, Tom Warren covers here that the 1TB cards are priced at $219. There are also 512 and 2TB options that are cheaper and more expensive, respectively. Still super pricey, and that's coming from somebody that does have the Seagate expansion card. And I would also go as far as to say that having a storage expansion card for your Xbox Series S is a requirement, unless you are ready to uninstall and install games as soon as you finish them or as soon as you want to play something else, because the Series S, you're looking at 512 gigabytes of storage, and that's not including the little space that's saved for the actual user experience stuff, the onboard, you know, how they booted up the thing. That's what is taking up a lot of the storage on the Xbox Series S. And so considering you have much less than 512 and many games run, you know, 100, 120 gigabytes these days, you've got to have additional space. This has not been the ideal solution because on the Xbox side of things, you've got to spend $200 plus to get a Seagate expansion card, or you could use a cheaper external hard drive, but that only really works for Xbox One games, original Xbox games, 360 games, and even then they load slower, so you don't get to experience that SSD speed that you typically do from the internal storage or the expansion cards that we buy from Seagate. So you're kind of at a disadvantage there. On the PlayStation side of things, you can use anything that is certified for PlayStation. The majority of SSDs that are on the market today, that are coming out in a kind of recent time manner, can be used within the PlayStation 5. And so that is one huge disadvantage that Xbox players have had. So the solution here would be for Microsoft to expand their partnerships outside of Seagate to work with Western Digital, to work with any other storage manufacturer to get those prices down and encourage competition in the market. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is now going to be the go-to expansion card when it's priced at $180. That's $40 cheaper than the nearest competitor at the same exact storage capacity. Why would I go with a more expensive one? And so I think that this is potentially just the beginning of many more to come. I mean, at the beginning of the generation, Xbox made it clear that Seagate was just the first partner they were working with more to hit the market on the way. And it looks like this is finally the market opening up and they're able to expand their partnerships and bring more options to players around the world. Ultimately, I would love to see this price go down to something that's $100 for the 1TB options. And I think that storage prices are starting to get there because you can buy a very cheap SSD these days. I mean, I expanded mine in my gaming PC for content creation. I think I bought a 2TB and it was about, I want to say, $180 last year. That's really affordable. And so I'm ready for those expansion cards to drop to those prices. And this is a bit of a different situation because they are proprietary. This is unique technology that has to be designed for this specific purpose. So it is going to up the price a little bit. But hopefully as the overall cost of storage goes down, these storage cards will drop as well. Now, let's be honest, you better get ready to have more storage on your Xbox because Diablo 4 launches on June the 6th, and it is set to be a banger. If you didn't get the chance to dive in during the beta weekends, you definitely missed out. It's one of the best Diablo experiences I've ever had. Loved my time with it, and I cannot wait to dive in on June the 6th. But if you don't have the Xbox Series X and you do want to dive into Diablo 4, they've got a solution for you, the Diablo 4 Xbox Series X bundle. That's right, a bundle is coming. Now, before you get too excited, the only thing about this Xbox Series X that makes it a Diablo 4 Xbox is the box that it comes in. There is a Lilith on the front, and that's about all you get, alongside a copy of the game bundled in as well. but there is no special edition console here. It's not a slightly different tone, a hint of red, potentially. No, it is just the straight, regular Xbox Series X. This is one of the biggest disappointments in marketing I've seen in 2023 so far. Why would you not stencil something on the side of it? Make it feel a little bit demonic. I don't know. Throw a couple of runes on there. Something to make this thing stand out. Maybe give it again, like I said, a tone of red. Just make it a different color. Give me a cool controller. No, this is just the standard Xbox Series X. Potentially, it could be due to those supply constraints. The Microsoft has been working around trying to get more Xbox Series X's on the shelf, but I would even be down to see a limited edition Xbox Series S. That's one that I know we've seen a ton of different editions of, and it just feels weird that it's just the regular Xbox. But if you don't have the next generation consoles, if you want to pick up Diablo 4, this is a good way to kill two birds with one stone and get it for a pretty good price. And by a good price, I mean literally how much both of those cost together with about 10 bucks taken off of it, I think. But you do get a couple of extra bells and whistles. Let's dig into it. Experience the ultimate next-generation action RPG with endless evil to slaughter, countless abilities to master, nightmarish dungeons, and legendary loot when Diablo 4 launches on June the 6th. Now, if you do want to get this bundle, you can pre-order the Xbox Series X Diablo 4 bundle for $5.59, launching alongside the game, and you do get some extra bells and whistles because the bundle includes an Xbox Series X and wireless controller, Diablo 4 for Xbox Series XS and Xbox One, and the Lightbearer mount with Caparison of Faith mount armor for Diablo 4. Now, in addition to this, you also get bonus in-game items for games that are out now. For fans who love other games from Blizzard, the bundle also includes an Aerys Wings and an Aerys Murloc pet for Diablo 3 for console and PC, Amalgam of Rage mount for World of Warcraft on PC, and the Umberwinged Darkness cosmetic set for Diablo Immortal on mobile. All of these games are, of course, sold separately, but if you do love those Diablo experiences on mobile, if you love digging into World of Warcraft, or you love D3 still, this is a great way to get some extra little in-game items to make the wait until Diablo 4 a little bit more bearable. Overall, I think the in-game item bundles are cool. I like the fact that they're bringing more experiences to you in other Blizzard games, because I would say it's a pretty safe bet that people that play Diablo probably have interest in other Blizzard games as well. But I'm still disappointed this isn't some kind of limited edition console. I think that would have been awesome, and it was kind of a dropped ball there. But in the meantime, if you're looking forward to some more demons, if you're looking forward to slaying some big monsters, Vampire Survivors has a new DLC on the way, and it's coming next month. That's right, April, coming very quickly. So Vampire Survivors' latest DLC drop is on the way, and it's coming in the form of the Tides of Fiskari. Brings new characters, weapons, and more that await those who step into this high fantasy-themed adventure. And if you haven't played Vampire Survivors, it just won a BAFTA award for Best Game Design. That beat out Elden Ring. You need to play this game, and it is on Game Pass right now. You can play it on cloud. It's on mobile as well, but it's a bit of a different version, I would say. But if you do want to play it anywhere, you can play it. Pretty much any laptop can run it, quite frankly, so you're not going to have too much issue finding the opportunity to get in on some of that Vampire Survivors action. But the biggest benefit with the DLCs that come out for this game is that they're only $2. I mean, this is launching on April the 13th for $1.99, and this news comes hot after Vampire Survivors' big wins at the BAFTA Awards, like we mentioned, for Best Game and Best Game Design, and it also includes a pretty good substantial amount of content. It includes a new stage called Lake Fiskari, 13 weapons, 7 musical tracks, and 21 new achievements. So a pretty beefy little experience here for $2, especially if you're looking for some more Vampire Survivors action after potentially finishing up the game, finding all the combos and weapons and things like that. This is a really good way to kind of make that stretch a little bit more. So if you do want to dive into Vampire Survivors, Tides of Fiskari, April the 13th is the date you can get your vampire slaying action on. Of course, no actual vampires in the game, I might add. I'll tell you a game that does have vampires in it, though, and that's Redfall, because we are 1 month away from Redfall. The reminder tweet went out this morning from @PlayRedfall. They just said 1 month launching on May the 2nd of 2023, and the hype is high. You can see tons of comments, retweets, likes coming in for a 9 a.m. tweet on a Sunday, so you know that's when people are going to be pumped about it. But I'm looking forward to Redfall. I gotta say that I'm not sure how I feel about it 100% yet. Checking out some of the previews, I definitely like what I'm hearing. It sounds like it's going to be more of a Far Cry kind of experience than I was thinking it was going to be, somewhat of a Back for Blood or Left for Dead kind of experience. And so as someone who typically plays games as a single player guy, that's going to be more appealing to me, to be able to go into these little vampire lairs and whoop some action up on them, you know, for lack of a better term. My only concern and my biggest concern is the gunplay here, because looking back at the history of Arcane games, knowing how Dishonored plays, knowing how Deathloop played, it's not something that spoke to me, and that was a bit of a bummer. But with Redfall, the word on the street is that they've really improved the gunplay overall. It's supposed to feel much better, and so it really needs to, because this is a game that is heavily focused on shooter mechanics. And when I'm thinking about slaying vampires and taking out this clan, I'm not thinking about being stealthy like I would in Deathloop. I'm not thinking about being stealthy like I would in Dishonored. I want to run and gun. I want to go in there and light some guys up with some machine guns and take people out. That's what I want to do in Redfall. So I'm hoping it's able to bring that action. And again, the game launches on Xbox Series X, S, and PC, as well as day one on Game Pass in just 1 month. Speaking of the world of Game Pass, it was a banger of a month for March 2023, and I would love to amplify this pure Xbox post and also hear what you have to say. What was your favorite Xbox Game Pass game in March? They have a poll here that has Wolong Fallen Dynasty, Guilty Gear Strive, Valheim, Sid Meier's Civ 6, Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom, MLB The Show 23, or Infinite Guitars, and this is just a small handful of the games that came out on the service for the month. In my opinion, Wolong Fallen Dynasty's got to take home the crown, because I love this game. It is still currently my game of the year. I loved every minute that I spent with it, and I am absolutely going to be diving into the DLC. This was my first Souls-like game. Everybody else seemed to be having a very difficult time with it. I dove in, and I was like a duck in water. Fish in water, whatever the saying is. I loved Wolong Fallen Dynasty, and so that's the kind of Game Pass experience that I love having. Something that I typically wouldn't pick up is on the service. I go ahead and dive in since I have access to it, and I fall in love with it. And it happens multiple times throughout the year. Kind of happening right now with Valheim as well. I wrapped up some Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure this morning. Started checking out a little Valheim, having a really good time with it, so that's one I'm going to spend some more hours with this evening. But as always, Game Pass is bringing the heat, and importantly, it's bringing the variety. So I would love to hear your thoughts. If you're listening on audio services, let me know which you loved on Game Pass this month for the month of March by hitting me up on Twitter or replying in the YouTube comments over on the YouTube channel. But as always, that wraps up the Jam Pack Report for April the 2nd of 2023. If you enjoyed today's show and you're new here, be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube, add the show to your podcast feed of choice, and get it delivered to you each and every week to keep up to date with everything happening in the world of gaming, with a little skew towards Xbox, obviously. I'm an Xbox guy myself. We got the HCS hoodie on. We got the Series S over there. I got to rep the home team. But of course, we'll always talk about the hottest news as it happens. And of course, thank you for the support. If you're coming back from a bit of a hiatus, or you haven't listened to the show in a couple of years since I have had it on hold, I appreciate you taking the time to check it out. And we'll be back next week for another episode. And of course, who knows what'll happen between now and then? We're going with the flow. We're seeing what happens. This is an ever-evolving, living, breathing being we're creating here. Sounds like we're having a baby. I promise it's just a podcast. Not that big of an obligation, so I think we're good. But for real, thank you guys. I appreciate you, and I'll catch you on the next one. Until then, keep on playing.